Dan's a public health professional. He's going to talk about cervical cancer prevention in Nicaragua. And Dan lives in Denver, that's right. I'm sorry. And just moved there. And he specializes in qualitative research and determinants of non-communicable diseases. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, Dan. That's all right.
Thank you, Scott. So thank you all for coming. My name is Dan Allen, and I graduate from Boston University School of Public Health in January 2014 with an MPH in International Health. No relationships to disclose. My practicum was an internship with an international NGO and was funded by a Santander University's Latin America Scholarship. Grounds for Health is an NGO out of Vermont that partners with coffee co-ops to provide cervical cancer screening to women in rural areas. Working in several countries, Grounds for Health uses visual inspection with acetic acid, or VIA, and cryotherapy to accurately and quickly screen and treat precancerous lesions. So I'd like to start by talking about Grounds for Health and the results from my internship, then discuss my successes and challenges in this role, and finally how my practicum experience affected my studies and career. First, I would be remiss if I didn't start with the story of how I got this internship. So this is me with my parents, and when I first heard about the Grounds for Health internship, it sounded perfect. An opportunity to speak Spanish, work in rural areas, and promote life-saving screening services. However, my wonderful and supportive mother told me that I shouldn't apply. She said, "I'm sure they're looking for a girl." So I'm happy to say that I ignored her advice. I did apply for the job, and I was awarded the position. So cervical cancer remains the number one cause of cancer death for women in low-resource settings, despite being 100% preventable. And pap smears in developing countries has been challenging and ineffective due to a lack of healthcare infrastructure and human resources like clinicians and lab techs. In my site in Nicaragua, the sample had to be transferred to a city 6 hours away, where it often sat for weeks. Once there, it had to be correctly analyzed and returned to the rural clinic intact. It was not uncommon for the sample to be lost. Furthermore, an informal survey by Grounds for Health found that the sample was too often taken from the vagina, not from the cervix. Even if the sample was taken and analyzed correctly and returned to the hospital, many times clinic staff were unable to communicate the results to the patient. All of this assumes that women in the community are able and willing to come into the clinic for the first in the first place to get the test done. And these are just some of the barriers to screening. Visual inspection with acetic acid, or VIA, is an alternative to pap smears that uses a vinegar solution to identify precancerous lesions. VIA is effective in low-resource countries because it does not require extensive human resources, supplies, laboratory infrastructure, and finance. HPV testing is a promising approach, but financially prohibitive. A 2009 meta-analysis reviewed 26 studies and found an 80% sensitivity and a 92% specificity for VIA tests. Grounds for Health has successfully implemented and maintained VIA screening in 4 countries. Nicaragua suffers from an incidence rate of 40 women per 100,000 and a mortality rate of over 10 women per 100,000, highest of all the countries in the Americas. And the goal of any intervention is sustainability. Grounds for Health utilizes 3 principal components to achieve sustainability: community participation, a simple reproducible method, and ongoing training. Being screened just once in a lifetime can reduce the incidence rate of cervical cancer by 30%. And while pap tests cost about $20 per test, VIA costs only 25 cents per test. And it is more accurate in developing countries. My role in Nicaragua was to manage program initiation at a new site. The site where I worked is now a self-sustaining independent center for VIA screening and localized cryotherapy. The culminating screening campaign tested 274 women within 4 days. And since I was in the unique position of being a male advocating cervical cancer screening, I developed a qualitative research survey to explore men's perceptions of cervical cancer screening services. In Nicaragua, men are often the primary decision makers regarding women's health. This report found that there is a pervasive lack of knowledge regarding cervical cancer, its cause, prevention methods, and the scope and severity of the disease. Some reasons why women do not access prevention services are lack of time, a perception of a high cost, embarrassment or shame due to the nature of the exam, and fear of the results. Men sometimes do not allow their partners to get tested, and some of the reasons for this include fear of diagnosis, jealousy, which leads them to not want a doctor to look at or touch their significant other, a lack of value placed on the health of their significant other, and men's main concern was the cost of screening and the cost of treatment. While men are generally underinformed regarding cervical cancer, they are receptive to learning more about it. From this study, my recommendations were, first, that Grounds for Health training efforts should address the issue of cost directly. While families incur costs in terms of time and money when going to the clinic and getting screened, it is important to emphasize that screening tests saves money in the long run. And I found that using a car analogy, that women and people in general are like cars and require maintenance to keep running well, was an effective technique to illustrate this. Other recommendations from this study are linking support for cervical cancer prevention to being a good husband and training more men as community health workers and community leaders. So along with success comes challenges. I encountered three primary obstacles in my practicum, and the first is communication. Ensuring timely and accurate communication between five distinct groups that I worked with was paramount to successful implementation of Ground for Health's program. This often consisted of balancing politics, as each group had different needs and unique opinions about when, where, and how the work should be done. The second is managing cultural differences. I was careful not to push scheduling too hard, and at first struggled to find a balance between respect and advocacy. However, open communication and acceptance of others' ideas allowed us to achieve our goals on time. And the third was working with community health workers. While this was a challenge, it was also the part of my practicum that I enjoyed the most. It was sometimes difficult to connect with and motivate women in the community while they have so many other tasks that need to be done. Yet we tried to engage the women in the communities, make trainings fun, include their ideas, and actively listen to their opinions and concerns. In the end, we made a lot of progress and now have a well-trained staff of community health workers. This failure is a subject that is not often acknowledged, but I think is important to consider. So what would I do differently? When organizing the implementation of the program, there is a lot of incongruity among involved parties regarding how, when, and where things should be done. And in particular, some reasons implementing the program was difficult were the weather. In Nicaragua, many communities are difficult or impossible to reach during the rainy season. The harvest, coffee is the primary means of income in this region, and most people's only job. So scheduling meetings or trainings during this time is near impossible. Holidays, Nicaragua has many holidays, and people generally do not work during these times. And also transportation limitations. So I was careful to respect cultural norms, but doing so made fulfilling timeline requirements difficult. And while Grounds for Health is aware of these obstacles, they were understandably focused on the macro level implementation, which wasn't always compatible with the micro level execution. Bridging the gap and assuaging differences was a crucial role. An important lesson, and something I would do different, was push harder to initiate certain aspects of the program. For example, it is imperative to identify the most pressing needs and advocate effectively for their timely enactment. Doing so achieves a balance between being respectful of cultural differences and realizing program goals. So community health worker training, due to the barriers that I mentioned before, this was the hardest part, the hardest aspect of the program to implement. I was consistently told that CHW trainings weren't possible right now. And I was careful not to step on toes and to respect cultural differences, which is something that we discuss a lot in public health classes. After all, community participation was key, and the last thing I wanted to do was alienate, inconvenience, or anger community members. However, my respectful compliance begot a lack of productivity, and by the time I was able to conduct the training, it was rushed, and the community health workers did not have as much time as ideal to promote our services. I learned the importance of selective assertion. Also, the necessity of good communication. I effectively communicated ideas and promoted program continuity among five different groups: Grounds for Health in-country staff, Grounds for Health U.S. staff, local health practitioners, coffee co-op staff, and most importantly, patients. So my practicum was an asset in the classroom, and I drew upon my experience frequently. In a research methods class, we completed a qualitative study, and I drew on the research I did in Nicaragua to create a study objective, collect and analyze data, code findings, and summarize study results. In social and behavioral health, we studied theory. And as I mentioned, incidence rates of cervical cancer are high, even though it's entirely preventable. So in this class, I learned about the diffusion of innovation theory, which I realized was a model for what Grounds for Health was doing in Nicaragua. And this theory consists of three elements: attributes of the innovation, visual inspection with acetic acid, or VIA, is a simple and accurate screening test. The second is environmental context, informing community members of our work and training community health workers. Characteristics of the innovators. Our work in Nicaragua was aided and supported by the influence of the coffee co-ops that we worked with. They helped us establish trust and legitimacy and assuage fears and hesitancy. And then biology of public health. My research revealed that very few people understood that a biological agent, HPV, is responsible for the majority of cervical cancer cases. And I drew upon this class to understand biological etiology and anatomy. And improved writing. My practicum experience made me fully understand the importance of succinctness in public health writing. For example, writing an itinerary for the coming month, I needed to include all information relevant to all parties, but still be brief. And career impact. So this practicum made me realize I am best when working directly with people and inspired me to pursue a career in clinical research by becoming a nurse. I better understood the value of expanding my skill set, as Grounds for Health employed RNs and NPs who also had their MPH. And I love the challenges and adventure of working for an international NGO and want to continue to do so. So this practicum confirmed my desire to work in developing countries, and our work was impactful. We identified and treated several precancerous lesions. In my practicum, I gained authentic experience that I later applied to class concepts, improving my academic performance. I learned to communicate effectively across multiple parties of different backgrounds in different languages. It increased my confidence to handle projects independently and also to work effectively as a member of a multidisciplinary team. And as I said, it shaped my career goals. So some of the skills and concepts relevant to my practicum are studying the determinants of disease. I gained research experience, and I enhanced problem-solving skills as well as communication and organization. I made use of real life experience. For an example, I took a class here at BU, and an exam question was describing the roles and the importance of community health workers, which I was very knowledgeable at after, or very knowledgeable of after my practicum. Political, many times I was responsible for allocating resources and managing egos, and navigating those political waters is useful going forward in my career. And critical thinking, there was in another class, we had a class discussion. The topic was whether or not a hypothetical hospital in Africa should implement or should purchase an innovative new machine that detects certain types of birth defects. However, it is expensive, and it was not proven to be more effective than traditional methods. And in this class, I was one of only a few students to recommend not buying the machine, because in my practicum, I learned that modern techniques do not always transfer to developing countries, and many times it's best to allocate the money elsewhere. So I was very fortunate in my practicum to have knowledgeable and supportive staff from both Grounds for Health and from BU supporting me. When I developed my qualitative survey, I initially wanted to include quantitative elements as well, and my initial questionnaire was 3 pages. I talked to BU and I talked to Grounds for Health. They explained to me the virtues of presenting a focused research question and keeping it simple. I initially thought more questions would lead to more conclusions or better conclusions. They helped me realize more questions generally lead to more questions and ambiguous conclusions. So I have always been passionate about reducing disparities in healthcare, and my practicum experience furthered this desire. This experience helped me immensely academically, professionally, and personally. And I started this presentation on a personal note. I'd like to end on a personal note as well. In Nicaragua, I met a Peace Corps volunteer from Colorado, and we got married just a month ago. So, thank you very much.